Section 2, record keeping. Having set up our PSA, we need to consider what records need to be kept to ensure that we can identify all the taxable costs to be included in the PSA in advance of preparing the PSA computations. The first step may be to set up some new nominal ledger codes for taxable PSA items. Perhaps separating staff entertaining and business entertaining costs if there is only one nominal ledger code at present. Or if staff entertaining is currently being claimed through travel and subsistence nominal ledger codes, it would again be better to have a separate one for staff entertaining. It may be necessary then to issue new guidance to employees to explain what items and in what circumstances costs are to be posted to the new nominal ledger codes. Does there need to be a separate nominal ledger code for staff functions and or staff parties? Perhaps for annual events like the Christmas party or summer ball or barbecue, where we need to isolate the cost to determine which functions qualified for the tax exemption and can therefore be excluded from the PSA computations. Where are we posting other items, such as gifts or incentives? And do we need to create additional nominal ledger codes to separately identify, say, sales incentives from staff gifts? Staff gifts might include non-taxable items like modest Christmas gifts, the cost of birthday cards and minor birthday gifts that are not taxable. Where are the cost of flowers posted? Flowers given as a reward are taxable and should be included in a PSA. But flowers given to a sick employee or to celebrate a birthday or wedding can be excluded. Do we have clothing costs? Are some of these costs allowable uniform? Or are they ordinary clothing which has to be taxed, either by reporting on the P11D or, in this instance, by including in our PSA? Is there a black hole nominal ledger code or other items nominal ledger code that will need to be reviewed and that might be used for posting any doubtful items that we can review at a later date? I can assure you from my experience with clients that separate nominal ledger codes can save a lot of time and will reduce the number of queries to be reviewed. One example of this would be for a relocation, because when I hear from a client that there is to be a relocation, if there's not already a nominal ledger code in existence for relocations, I will advise that one is set up. It is much easier at the end of the year to be able to review and identify the costs. As well as keeping records to identify the cost to be included in the PSA, we also need to be able to identify the beneficiaries of the taxable expenses and or benefits that are to be included in that PSA. HMRC guidance tells us that where items can easily be attributed to individual employees or directors, the employer must retain the same records required for the purposes of completing forms P9D and P11Ds, and that we must record details of cash payments to individual employees. When we arrive at the stage of calculating the PSA liability, we will have to decide what tax rate to use. If a particular gift, incentive, or taxable cost can be identified as given to one director or employee, then we are required to apply the appropriate tax rate. For example, if we have Employee of the Year awards, we should be easily able to identify the recipients and then to determine if they are liable to income tax at the basic, higher, or additional rates of income tax, and thus allocate the costs accordingly. In contrast, if the taxable costs relate to a taxable staff function, such as a day at the races, or a staff conference, where there may be after-dinner bar bills that are taxable, we may not be able to easily identify who had what. Where it is impractical to allocate any item of cost between specific employees, a record of the individual concerned will not be appropriate. But we will need to determine what tax rate should apply to that group or groups of people. HMRC guidance tells us that the employer should record the following information. Firstly, the overall cost of providing the benefits concerned, for example, the total cost of providing a party which a number of employees attend. Then the number of employees concerned, and then representative samples of the tax rates of the employees involved. My advice is to ask the payroll person or department to provide a breakdown of the number of employees liable at either the basic, higher, or additional rates of tax. I will then prepare my calculations based on that breakdown for taxable items to be included in the PSA, such as staff entertaining and staff functions. However, for any specific expenses or benefits that can be identified as relating to individual directors or employees, I will include them in the PSA computations at the appropriate basic, higher, or additional rates of tax. We need to be aware that HMRC employer compliance officers will want to review our calculations at some time in the future, including our working papers, and we must ensure that we have the appropriate records in place to show them. I have never had a problem with any such review and have never had an employer compliance officer querying the lack of detail. Pay-as-you-earn regulations require that employers must keep records relating to PSAs for not less than 3 years after the end of the most recent tax year to which they relate, which is basically the same period required for keeping payroll and CIS records, i.e. 3 years after the end of the tax year. My advice to clients is that they should keep sufficient records to evidence the costs that have been included and the tax rates that have been used, also to justify any items such as the annual staff party or parties, minor or trivial items or exempt items that have then been excluded from the PSA. Typically, I will want to review an analysis of any Christmas party cost to ensure that all relevant costs, including VAT and any extras, have been included, and that there is evidence of the number of attendees, and therefore that the cost per head of any particular function or functions is within the £150 exemption limit. I have told AAT members many times that this £150 exemption is a limit, not an allowance. And if an annual staff function costs more than £150, the total cost, not just the excess over £150, must be included in the PSA. Similarly, if there are two or more such qualifying functions, but the total cost exceeds £150, the cost of any function that takes the total cost over £150 per head would have to be excluded from the exemption and included in the PSA. Simple example that I used on the P11D course: a £90 Christmas party and a £50 summer barbecue, total less than £150 would be exempt. If you added another party costing more than £10, the third party would have to be included in the PSA.